Hi, welcome to another Expert Insights discussion. Today we're joined by two guests from Get Into More, one of our expert partners. We have Nikki van der Broek, Manager of Business Development, and Petter Brouwer, who is one of the co-founders of Get Into More. In this discussion, we explore a number of areas, touching on the impact of COVID on meetings and events, where are we seeing green shoots and where is demand coming from, what segments seem most active and how do we see meetings and events picking up in 21 and 22, why hotels should be adapting to look at space as a service, and finally, as demand picks up, how do you decide which meetings and events business to take, which is most profitable? Really hope you enjoy the discussion. Let's get started. Hi guys, great to see you again. Thanks for joining us. How are you? How are you, Nikki? You well?
I am doing great. It's a sunny Friday afternoon here in Antwerp, so couldn't be better, actually.
Couldn't ask for more, could you? And Petter, how are you?
Same. Yeah, likewise. I'm actually in Amsterdam. It's also very sunny and very healthy. So all in all, good. Thumbs up.
All keeping safe and well, which is good. Good news. Good news. Mm-hmm. Now, interesting conversation today. Well, I'm going to say it's interesting. I'm sure it will be. Because, I mean, the basic premise is that meetings will return, but kind of how and when. And I think it's important to put it just into context for anyone that's maybe watching this for the first time and kind of haven't seen any of the previous videos for you guys. At Get Into More, you were right at the forefront of kind of seeing what was going on with this COVID. So, Nikki, do you want to just give us a kind of quick introduction to Get Into More, to position where you are and why talking about meetings and meetings coming back is obviously your space?
Of course, Trevor, with pleasure. So at Get Into More, we offer a business intelligence solution to help people actively optimize revenue from meetings and events. Loads of people are focused and are very professional when it comes to rooms revenue management. Then on the other hand, you have meetings on events, and quite often it's just not the same experience there. Let's say it like so. So what we do is we offer a solution that is connected to the PMS system. So at least you can take data-driven decisions also for meetings and events. So you optimize actively that big chunk of business as well.
And obviously, that was one of the areas. I mean, we know hospitality, hotel have just been hit hard. Travel.
Yes.
The meetings and events space was probably, I guess you could argue, the first piece to go into this challenging time, and would appear to be one of the last pieces to be coming out as well. Just in terms of putting things in context, maybe just a couple of minutes, from each of you, and just how have you seen the landscape? I mean, how tough has it been over this last year, so to speak, for the meeting space?
Well, of course, it has been really tough. There's no point denying that. Meetings and events, well, in many cases, it was discouraged to meet, or it was even forbidden by law to meet. So our hotels were really, well, standing with their backs against the wall, nothing to be done here. Now, in summer, we did see some smaller meetings and gatherings once restrictions were lifted, let's say between wave one and two, there was a little bit of freedom. So one of the things I remember there is that there is a willingness to meet. People were looking forward to meet, and people were actually meeting this summer, also at the hotels. But then, of course, wave two came, and we went back to closed and not too much meetings and events. Well, now, luckily, Peter, we also see in our hotels, well, a form of pickup, and some smaller meetings and events are taking place, right?
Yeah, the first green shots are there again. But I must also stress that even though within these difficult times, I was impressed by the creativity of our either customers or the industry, what they were still able to do with their function spaces or their outlets in order to sort of attract some extra revenues in there, even though within the regulations, mind you. That is one thing, the creativity, and also the flexibility. So adjusting according to all the rules and regulations and still finding some opportunities out there. So in that way, I mean, we are an industry that is very open for making changes and also very resilient. You know, when there is one opportunity or when there is one moment that we sort of can, we can do something now, bang, we're on it. So I think we also learned that out of this almost a year that we're in this situation, or over a year now, that which I think is a very positive note that, you know, it's not like, oh yeah, okay, this is happening, back to the wall and there's nothing we can do. Yeah. No, there is, and like you said, and it encourages also when you have guests that are very willing to come back. Yeah. So it's,
the adaptability and flexibility, isn't it?
Exactly.
That I think has been shown.
No.
Definitely. And
yeah, impressive.
I think it almost feels like someone flipped a switch, but over the past month, maybe 3 weeks, mm-hmm. I do get the impression that people are seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. Vaccinations probably have something to do with it. Mm-hmm. Where we see that light at the horizon, that things will go back to, well, normal, or at least an environment where people can safely meet. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone's preparing for that big bounce that might be coming also.
I think they're preparing and also hoping
that
it will.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Which leads us in nicely into talking about, you know, the purpose of this getting mm-hmm. together, having this discussion, that they will return. There is a desire to return. There is the flexibility and adaptability being shown by the hotel sector to respond to that demand. So it's really just handing over to you guys to share your knowledge as to what you're seeing. And I think, first of all, it's probably worth just touching on where are you seeing demand at the moment? Where do you see, what are the kind of the segments that are responding? And then we can look a little bit as to how you maybe see with timing, how different phases will bring different elements back to the market. So hand over to you guys, really.
Well, what we've seen since last year, that the I think it's a general trend that the major cities in Europe are the ones that have been hit the most. You know, it's Amsterdam, Berlin, Brussels, Paris. I think those not only hotel wise but also event wise. we can see that also within our portfolio that the secondary cities. You know, either linked to facilities that can be used in a different level than only like the traditional meetings, are an opportunity for those properties to make extra money on meeting and events. So that is one thing, and I think that's a general trend. If you look at the UK over the summer last year, it was booming in the countryside because everybody wanted to go out. Yeah. That's a bit the same what we said with this adaptability, is that hotels have shifted from this business segments that they normally work on to these leisure segments. And then within these segments, we've seen some things popping up that were there in the back, but really are now or have taken a big chunk out of the revenue streams of hotels. And that's some of the properties that are related to sports groups. So okay. We've had like these, because these sports groups, as they are sort of a bubble of their own, they can still travel out and about and have either, you know, training sessions or games without public, needless to say. But of course, they are a bunch of people, like a team, like, you know, 10, 20 up to 40, 50 persons sometimes, that need accommodation, but also need spaces to have meetings about, you know, their games, how they should be played, and all that sort of stuff, and eat and drink.
Yep.
So we've seen in a couple of our hotels that they have had over, since last year summer, actually up till now even, and also for the time to come, some interesting, nice football clubs, hockey clubs, all sorts of sport-related business. And that is one of the streams that we didn't imagine that it could bring that many revenues, actually, as such.
A good area to tap into.
Yeah, yeah. And then on top of that, it was also, sorry, Nicky, because I'm keep babbling now, but and on top of that, there's also quite some of these segments which are government or public services related that have also attributed to not only the hotel side, you know, because they needed the rooms, and those are the ones that are still needed to travel, and which is linked to this essential travel, of course,
yeah.
But also there, they would still need to sort of get meetings or trainings even, or testing rooms for their employers or for their contractors, in order to be, you know, compliant with all these safety and health regulations.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I think if you look currently, we are still quite limited in attendee size. Mm-hmm. Again, yeah. by law, by regulations, and I think we will see a shift once restrictions are lifted or once things get a bit less strict. To, of course, well, a more or less, I think, transition period. So mm-hmm. we expect maybe end Q3, Q4 this year, that there will be a transition period where we will see mid-sized meetings happening. So maybe up to 50 people getting together again, which sounds rather exciting for me now, being with 50 people in the room. Can't wait. But that's going to be very dependent on local rules and regulations, of course. And also maybe like a bit of psychology. Like, I'm looking forward to being in that room with 50 people again. I don't know about you guys. How do you feel about being in a room with 50 people?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Honestly, for me, I would be great. It would be great for me just to meet and not only look at my screen and have myself in the right-hand corner somewhere looking down on me instead of just looking into somebody's eyes who's sitting next to me. No, I do agree. And what you say about these mid-sized meetings, like 30, 40 persons, because so far, you know, whatever we've been seeing is from 5 to 10 persons max,
right,
you know, because that's the regulation. And it's everywhere the same story within Western Europe as such. We do see that for the 30, 40 persons, we do get, there's demand, there's inquiries coming in, and not only for the secondary cities, like we said before, but also now for the primary ones. If we see now in Berlin and Brussels and also in Amsterdam, it's not a lot, but at least there is a confidence of some organizers or some corporate accounts that have that, well, let them be the ones that sort of take a stand and say, we really need to be getting out and about because it's been too long in order to see each other. So there are, indeed, what Nikki said, you know, Q3, Q4, it's a transition period with how do they, you know, how can we handle it? What is the impression of the attendees about being back together again? And of course, this is not local, but it's within either your own country or your direct feeder market. Yeah. It's not yet the long hold of you
maybe
know,
drivable distances, more or less.
Yeah. Train or drivable distance. Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, Nikki, you were going to say
something. Yeah, I think in this transitional period, it will be extra important or still important for hotels to focus on safety. So. Mm-hmm. Ensure guests that you can organize safety because, okay, we are very much looking forward to meet again and we already feel safe with that thought. But some people might come in that are not yet there. So make them feel safe, provide everything that's needed so that they are also confident and ready for what we think will happen start 2022. Which will be an explosion, actually, of meetings and events, conferences that have been postponed, and so on.
And you think there will be, you know, I mean, I know there's an element of hope, but kind of back to your point earlier, I think was interesting around the psychology piece. You know, if I just look within my direct family and close contacts. Mm-hmm. When you hear them talking generally, not about attending a meeting, but just generally meeting with people, there's almost two halves, you know, there's kind of one half that's keen to get out and kind of put myself in that. It's like, okay, well, we're getting vaccinated. There's not much more we can do. We kind of go social distancing, being sensible, but we kind of have to move forward. And then there's the other half that are still quite nervous in fairness, you know, because I think it less often for themselves, but maybe who they're connected and contact with and environments that they're in and passing that on. And so, you know, there's one member of my family who, you know, is in a corporate life and traveled. Mm-hmm. And to him, the thought of traveling and meeting and being in meetings is not something that they are really keen to engage with at this moment in time, and they realize that that's going to be a challenge. So I think you're right in terms of how it will play a part, but there's going to be an element where individuals are almost not forced to do it, but you kind of got to do it as we return to some kind of normality. I think picking up on just some of your earlier points were interesting around the sports group and the and the governments. I think what I took from that, and I guess most Helltales recognize this, is that we are opening up in sort of a piecemeal fashion. And I guess there's been a lot spoken about, oh, it's the local business, the small local meetings. But again, it's trying to follow as restrictions ease up. It's understanding is, I think, as you said, the football was really interesting and the hockey, and thinking, course, there's a passion for people to get out and want to do their sports. Those clubs now still operate. Those clubs want to be able to meet in a safe place where they can welcome people back. So that wouldn't have seemed obvious to me being a potential target market. But when you explain it and you look at how restrictions have lifted, it's kind of, you're almost turning it around a little bit and looking at, okay, which bits will be able to open up and how is that going to create challenges for people to meet, and how could we leverage our capacity to provide a safe environment for those people to meet.
And I am convinced that will be something that corporations and companies will always also be looking at us for. Because since the beginning of the pandemic, hotels have shown that they can organize safety. Like, protocols were rolled out in no time. Yeah. And I can imagine it's quite stressful if I would be running a corporation or a company, to think about, like, how am I going to structure this in my factory, and will it be okay? You know that the hotels have the know-how, so better organize it there.
I think that's a good point. Peter, do you have?
Yeah, because it's interesting what you said about, these sports groups and the difference between those and the corporate ones. And of course, these sports groups, they travel in group. So you immediately have, a group of 20, 30, 40. So it's the peer pressure within the group anyway to just get out and about. Also, they have a different mindset than a corporate. Of course, it's a team. We want to play, we want to win. So, but also within in society, you have these differences, right? You have these daredevils, so to say, these bold people that say, whatever, when it's possible, I'm out and about. Because we had this hotel, which I thought it was very interesting that they would go that way. There was, it's in Belgium, and they have this like an atrium. And it's really a secondary city, smaller property, and they have a big atrium in the hotel. And within the hotel, you have balconies of the hotel rooms coming out into this atrium. And they had organized like a sort of a dinner show in the atrium, but then the people could eat on their balconies, and then would still be in their own bubble. And that sort of stuff, you would always have these early adapters that would say, I'm going for that one, I'm going to sit on that balcony and have the dinner. And I think those will hopefully also be the ones that are, when they're linked to any sort of corporate travel and or within any sort of community, that would say, okay, it's possible again. And if those early adapters can ensure that all is done, and okay, the hotels and the venues should do the same, that all can be organized safely and within the restrictions, those will be the footprint of the other ones to follow, because you always have to have these ones. And then I think the ones that are psychologically not yet ready, that they need to be convinced as such.
Yeah, and also I think to add to that, like, fear of missing out is a strong emotion.
Yeah.
So maybe they won't be at the first meeting or at the first event, but then they will there will be talk about it, and in the end they will be convinced. Also, I don't think it should feel like a risk. I don't know if you've seen this, but some of the bigger brands, they're rolling out rapid testing that you could also just offer at your event or at your meeting. I think that really takes away all concerns.
I think so much of it will come down to the confidence, and you're right, there will be some that will go out and then I think you're right that trickle effect of people hearing they went to this event, it was safe, it was well organized, it was logistically fulfilled all the protocols, because there's always a I think you have that difference between the desire to want to go there and then the questioning. Mm-hmm. Because how many times do we walk down the street and we all know the same rules, but we'll see certain bars or certain restaurants and some will be following it and some won't. And so by nature, you almost think, I want to go out, but will the event be safe? Will the hotel? And I think as soon as that trickles through, and I think that's where your point about the timing, mm-hmm. with the small events, mm-hmm. that momentum, then Q3, Q4, you were saying you're expecting to see sort of the mid-sized meetings and events come through, and then more into 2022. And that probably, I think, would reflect the different opening phases that are mm-hmm. going to occur as confidence then starts to build. And I think also into that, and we're not touching on that as part of this conversation, we've mentioned corporate, but mm-hmm. there are so many variables that influence the corporate travel. with just airlines as well, corporate policies and approaches and what their legal position is to putting their staff. But I think that is a complex element all on its own. What you're kind of talking about here is more within, outside of that corporate space, and just that sort of general meetings and events. I think it's a lot of it will come down to the confidence of that building over time.
Go ahead, Peter.
Well, having said about the confidence, I think there's also the willingness to having these events again. In Holland, we have now next week, which is the 27th of April, we have a test event of 10,000 people. And that was open, say, on a Tuesday afternoon, mm-hmm. and within 15 minutes, it was sold out. Wow. And it's indeed with all these regulations, you know, pre-testing, I think 2 days prior, and then again another one on when you arrive, and also afterwards with tracking and you name it. But I mean, when I heard 10,000, because we have one of 3,500, I think, somewhere in May, but this is like within a week.
I read something. You had one recently or something, didn't you? There was about 5,000 at a conference or a music event or something, wasn't it?
Well, that's still to come, but indeed. And now we have, we had that one, and then we have one, 10,000, but 10,000.
I mean, 10,000 for me.
Yeah, and also...
Well, that's a big number, right? And if that goes well... That would be, I mean, I'm really hoping for that for everybody, not just, you know, for our sector, but for the well-being of us all.
Yeah, and if we talk about willingness to attend events and to attend meetings, I also heard about that test event in the Netherlands. There were 1 million people that wanted to be part of that crowd.
A million?
Yeah. 1 million.
Seriously? For that event, the 5,000, and they're all tested and they're tracking it, aren't they, to see what happened after.
And Trevor, we are currently still in the midst of the pandemic where not everyone is vaccinated and so on. No. So, like, move on, or let this year pass where more people will be vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually quite confident that people... are definitely looking forward to meeting again and hosting and attending big events in 2022.
That's a really interesting. And I guess in a way, do you see, kind of thinking, I'm already thinking of mine. Is there anything more around kind of the segments and timings piece that we haven't? Because I'm kind of really intrigued now to move into that. Okay, to where we're going to. Go on.
I have one more thing that I would like to add here that absolutely blew my mind.
Go on.
And it's actually a Cvent report that I received recently where I read that currently there are already more leads for 2022 than there were for the record year 2019.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. So talk about willingness to meet, that really says something.
Okay, so with that in mind, I guess the question, because this is a question that through the whole year everyone has been talking about, this will be the change and people do things differently, and I don't know, I'm kind of on the fence, which is not a good place to be, but there's part of me that thinks by human nature we are used to doing things, we have our routines. So has a year been long enough us to actually change, or will we revert back? So I'm interested to get your insights into where you think it either will change or where you feel it needs to change, the meeting and event space in its perception, and how can you use this as a way of resetting and reframing the way that you maybe look at not meetings and events and holding them, not all this hybrid stuff, but more in terms of from a commercial point of view, how you can be more effective with them.
Yeah, of course, I'd be happy to talk a bit about that topic. Now, I think how we look at it, this past year, it's been more or less a catalyst for change that was already on the menu, so to speak. And something that we see are trends that are happening is, for instance, that there's more remote work. So you have people working from home that they will also need to meet, and they might use our hotels to do so. We also think that, well, office space is going to come down a bit, so less office leases, the more budget for things that could happen at hotels. And, well, taking everything together and expecting a boom in 2022, we also think that the term meetings and events might be a bit too limited for what we can do as a hotel.
Based on what you've just said there, with it still kind of being the workspace and the virtual working and all this kind of,
So you either have a meeting or an event, but in a way you're selling square meters. So we see it more as evolving towards space as a service, not just meetings and events, but space as a service.
Interesting.
And how you fill in that space is actually, it could be quite flexible. Take as an example, for instance, we do know that the months July and August aren't the hottest for meetings and events. You do not make yourself very popular as a boss to be hosting loads of meetings in July and August. Not too many people will attend them. But what do you do with that space? Well, quite often it's just empty right now. And you might also want to attract some more leisure guests in those not too strong business months. So why not host a pop-up store there, or have someone host a pop-up store? Maybe you want to use exhibition space. Maybe you want to have an artist in residence that uses that space. So I think space as a service is something to remember here.
It's interesting. Peter, do you?
Yeah, because what we will see for the moment, there will be sort of an overcapacity of these spaces, right? Because if we believe that, you know, in Q4 it will be the size of 30, 40, 50 people, even with social distancing, we will have space left in our properties.
Yep.
And then, of course, that space can be utilized in a different fashion. And indeed, it can be a strategic room for a football club, but it can also be the art exhibition of the local artist just around the corner, or a pop-up shop from whoever there. So indeed, those revenue streams can be different, and making it also a bit of a different experience for everybody else.
Yeah.
And at the same time, those things will change. You know, it has changed already, and those changes will just go on because there is a willingness also to expose things, you know, and meet up with people, and when this is done in a safe way, and that's what Nikki said, the hotels have been able, or the venues have been able to do that. That is an extra trigger also for that to be happening.
Yeah,
and I think the two words that I take just from listening to you two guys there, one is safe, and one is space.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting that the willingness to recognize that hotels are one of the safest places to go because of the pressure on them to comply with protocols opens up that ability to say to anybody, if historically you have met or worked in groups, we have a location where you can come to. It's normally pretty well positioned, and you can do it in a safe environment. And when we come back to that psychological piece, the safety element is critical, even with that desire. So I think recognizing that and seeing that as an absolute critical USP, any hotel that doesn't grasp that concept and hasn't by yet is, to be honest with you, I worry for them in the future, because most of the others have grasped that and think, how can we leverage it? And the challenge is now, how do we get that message out there? So I think safe is one word. The interest around the space, And again, I mean, how long has the discussion been going on with rooms revenue and revenue management in rooms and changing of that still? So let's hope in the meetings and event that moves a bit faster. But that was really interesting when you say, okay, by calling it meetings and event, you almost put a label on it and then everything is driven by that label.
Then it's either a meeting or an event.
Yeah, rather than looking at it and say, no, we actually have some square meterage. We have space, safe space, that we can utilize, that we can promote, that we can provide a safe harbor for people to come to. And that's a really interesting concept to explore.
And I think there's a real opportunity here, especially for hotels that are very free to choose what they do with those square meters. I think it's a huge opportunity, for instance, for independent hotels. They are known for being a bit more flexible and they don't have brand guidelines and so on to follow, to really differentiate themselves from maybe the bigger brands around them.
I think that's a good point because, again, you know, we see a lot about the brands doing the hybrid meeting offerings and coming out. And, you know, again, that brings an element of safety and security and people can relate to that. But you do look and think, well, as an independent property or as a small group of hotels, your ability to adapt and flex.
Yeah.
And I think as Darwin said, it's not the strongest or the smartest, but those that adapt the quickest that survive, you know, that lends itself into their way of operating to give them a USP, but also a chance to compete against some of the bigger brands as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it also ties back to the what we talked about before with these independent hotels. Most of the time, they are very strong locally or within a very...
Not
the law also. I mean, they are very, and we see that also with the properties that we work with or that we have close contact with. The ones that are independent and have a good local community and the local sales, they are really standing out, that they're making the difference because they can really capture whatever sort of demand there is. And it can be what Nikki said, a space for an exhibition, the sports groups, the local workers in in any sort of norm form, but also the government and local services. And with the brands, it is it's also possible, especially when you're franchise, you have more flexibility. Mm-hmm. But the ones that, I mean, it's not the strong that survives, but it's really the smart that survive, and the smart that survive in a way that they focus short term now, building up relationship locally, and then because of that experience they have, they will be ready when internationally comes back again.
Yeah, and
so they have a double dip.
So I think something that that we saw during this pandemic is creativity when it comes to finding revenue streams. Where before hyper focused on hotel room revenue, and now almost by force, we were all forced to think outside the box, to color outside of the lines. And I do expect that this is a, let's say, new obtained skill that we will now have in our playbook.
I think that's a good point. Sorry, Penny, you were
going to
say something.
Yeah, and also just wanted to add on this local thing, even with the hybrid, I think I've tested, these hybrid meetings, and with all due respect, after three or four of them, I was like, okay, it's fancy to do, but what's the use of this one?
Yeah.
And then that's it. I mean, I'm not going to, be super negative about hybrid meetings, because if people want to do that, fine. But if that ties back to the local ones, I don't want these hybrid, I really want to see them. So that helps. Hybrid is, I think, a very fancy word. Bottom line, I'm not convinced if that is something that will stay on for a long time.
I think one strong thing about hybrid meetings, what I think will happen with the hybrid segment, is where you will have two local offices, for instance, that meet at a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And they might not choose one hotel. I think they might have two hotels and then link together with a with a hybrid option, something like that. But I also don't see a big future, for instance, for huge hybrid events.
I think what you may see is that you may start to see a more localized or regionalized, but then the ability that the hybrid element allows people. So if you've got a corporate office in the US and they've got their European office, then you may have the German office, you know, so your office in Berlin, your office in Paris.
Correct.
They may meet up in a local hotel and connect, but then the so they're meeting locally, physically, but the hybrid element joins them, as you said, Nikki, and then maybe the corporate team from the US is then meeting. So it is enabling that rather than again, us flying miles and polluting the air. Because I think that's going to be an issue as well. You know, this
of course.
Well, we don't want to get into the corporate travel bit, but I think there is an element of where not only time, I think this has made people look at where they're spending money. Yes, I think the environmental pressures and responsibility of people traveling miles. I think if governments follow through on some of their, you know, they drip feed these ideas out into the press about, you know, tackling loyalty points differently because that rewards more traveling. I think I saw a report the other day that said that the, what is it like? I wish I pulled up the article before I'm even quoting it now, but something about the 10% of the wealthiest create 20% of the environmental impact or something.
It was actually the 1% of the wealthiest,
And I mean, these are frightening statistics that there is, I think there's a groundswell that COVID has created that is making people reflect and question. I come back to my earlier point, we are creatures of habit. So in 2 years' time, are we all just back to it again and we're having the same conversations, but now about over demand and not enough capacity, and we've just gone back to 2019. But who knows? It does. Yeah. Sorry, Nikki, I could sense you wanted to say something, but I've got a question as well. So I'll let you say what you want to say first.
I lost you, so go ahead.
you just agree. I'm not used to people agreeing with me. Okay. So this has created creativity. Mm-hmm. It's created hotels, the flexibility. Hotels are identifying different revenue streams, looking at how they can utilize their space and start to think about it in terms of space rather than just meetings and events. So all of that to me stands out as a massive positive that could come out of this experience and start to make. And I think it was probably 2-3 years ago, maybe longer, I don't know. But people were looking at how hotels could become the hub of their local community and using their space differently. So I could see that really, really picking up. My question comes back to if we now have a more sophisticated and a multi-layered level of revenue stream, and we're slicing up our space in a different way, but if we continue to price or measure, I fear that the moment we start to return to a greater sense of normality, it is easier for hotels to fall back on their old ways of doing things and then end up with rooms not occupied because their technology or their thought process or operations lend them to just revert back to type. So there needs, so for me, there is a challenge in terms of creating a more adaptable approach to looking at how we price, how we measure. So what are you, I mean, you guys are in that space. What are you seeing? Are those the innovations that need to come through, or am I just overcomplicating the system?
Well, now is actually a very good time to do that thinking work and to set up the strategies and set up the workflows in your hotel to prepare for what is there to come. So that's something that I would definitely recommend, is use this time wisely, because now you probably are still in a period or in a space where you have time, so that you are ready to implement everything when demand is there again.
But I mean, if I'm creating all this desire and this demand, how do I, suddenly I've built and we're starting to come out, how do I decide, okay, well, do I now have my artist, or do I have my pop-up restaurant, or do I now take this meeting group? Because suddenly now I've done all the groundwork, I've created demand. Now I've got to make some commercial decisions because I've kind of made commitments.
Make the best choice. You mean, yeah, like, yeah. I think, yeah, in that respect, I think, yeah, Nikki, we are working on some stuff also from our side to guide, to see what's coming in, to filter what's coming in, and to make the right decision. And maybe you can elaborate a little bit more on that.
More than happy to. So, Trevor, as you know, this really is, I think, a headline for you, because we haven't talked about it yet in public. Obviously, we have talked about it between us. It would be weird.
It's out in the open now.
It's out in the open. So you know us as a business intelligence provider, right? That's our, I can now say, first solution, because we will launch a second solution probably before summer. So all hands on deck here, where we are going to, release an RMS for meetings and events. So that will be a module that will help you take a decision to sell or not to sell. Do we do this? Do we wait for a better inquiry to come along? Because, well, in meetings and events, you have that cost of an opportunity, right? If you accept something and you miss out on something better, that's a real pity. And now we are developing, building a solution so hotels can be fully supported when taking those decisions. Good thing about it is that, well, currently it's not a good thing, but something that's useful when you have the solution is that we see hotels might be a bit understaffed, or they will be understaffed at a certain point. So instead of having to pull all of the data yourself and do the calculations, this will give you a very clear green light or a red light.
And the good thing about this part that we're developing now is that we were already, I mean, we've been thinking about this thing, all right, I think just pre-pandemic, we were already there. Of course, yeah, then things were put on hold because we're going to sell this to, if there's nothing to sell to, right? You're like, what? Do I take this or no? Yeah, of course I take it. But within this whole pandemic, we were approached by a hotel chain that I had, we had talked to before, and then 3-4 months ago, they came back to us again, said, you know, where are we now? And this was actually one of their main things. We had this digital meeting,
hybrid,
right? Hybrid with 10 hotels on, and it was, it's fun to do, but it's like the three of us sitting now, but then your whole box is covered with people, right? So, and we talked about it, and it was every, you know, from any level, it was from the conference organizer to the meeting and event host to the corporate office. They were saying, you know, we do not want to miss out when things come back. And we want to have, because they were also, you know, flexible, they were very creative with all sorts of things, things they're doing now. But they fear that, you know, that they would lose out on some opportunities if they do not make the right decisions now for 2022 or beyond, even if they would have, and just, you know, blocking space or whatever it is. But they said we need to have the confidence that we can take a decision built on, not on gut feeling, but built on data and assumptions of that data. And so that really went hand in hand with what we were thinking. So we're setting up this thing with them as a testing chain, and that also shows that there is a willingness within the industry to have these sort of tools. And it's you always have to have these early adapters, luckily, and sort of visionaries that that would help us as such as well.
Yeah, and I would say that I'm like a more or less optimistic person. But even for me, I hadn't expect this question to arise this soon again.
Okay. No, indeed, no.
But there it is. So we also now said, okay, the time is now. Let's go with solution two. And obviously, Get Into More still gets all the love it deserves as well. Working on that solution also. In the next release, we'll have made some changes again to make our core solution, so get into more flexible also, so people can even customize more than before.
Yeah, and I think it is interesting, and I think it's, you know, there are so many elements, and you know, whenever like you're talking to hoteliers, you're talking to other technology solution providers in partnerships, mm-hmm. and that you're doing, and I think everyone is saying the same thing. You know, we're all trying to work out and adapt and try to, you know, ideally pinpoint in the sand, when is this going to happen? And there are too many moving parts to be able to do that. So, you know, you're having to use, as you guys have mentioned, the data to indicate what is going on, what is coming down the pipeline. But it's still, I still come back to the same point. It was interesting to hear that you're hearing the same thing from the hotels, because that's really encouraging as an industry. Because to me, I always question that this adaptability, this flexibility, they are the strengths, but the hotel sector historically takes a long time to shift and adapt to whether different terminology, different metrics, different technology. And mm-hmm. my concern was having suddenly shifted your mindset to looking at, we have space in our hotel, how do we use it? And to then build up these different potential revenue streams that you have available to you, but then to just revert back to type, and you could go back to that hotel in 2 years' time and they're sitting there with meeting rooms no longer being utilized because they've fallen back into how they operated, because now they're into their normal way of their meeting and event sales. And you think, all of that work that has been put in, but then if there isn't technology there to support and adapt to looking at it as space and not meetings and events, then that naturally is going to lend people to lean back on what they've always had and what they've always been used to, isn't it?
Yeah,
of course. Yeah. It's very difficult to navigate in the dark.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So then you just keep going straight ahead.
Absolutely. Well, then that tees us up nicely, because then that means there's something that we can revisit with you guys in the next couple of months as you're working through this solution, and we can kind of talk through how that actually works, how that applies, how that can be utilized, because then as we're starting to see us transition out into, as you say, that Q3, Q4, and then into 2022, the ability to now sit there and think, okay, do I sell, do I not sell?
Yeah.
Who gets this? Where is it? And let's not lose sight. It's not about revenue, it's about profitability as well. So, you know, how much do we need to service this business, and what does it cost us to service, and what is profitable business for us to have? That's going to be a great conversation to get you guys back onto.
Trevor, I hear topics for at least 4 more podcasts.
You're not rid of us yet.
Don't want to be. Too much going on, and you're in a really interesting, because being the last to come out, but it's going to be a key revenue generator as well for hotels that do have space available. To maximize that is going to be critical. I'm very conscious of your time. I think we've covered everything that we kind of wanted to build into here in terms of where we were, where we're going, what you're seeing, and what you envisage coming forward, and what are the key decisions that hoteliers need to start thinking about. I think what is really encouraging out of this, you guys are always positive. You've been positive all the way through these. That's just your nature. But what's really encouraging now is the positivity that we're hearing from the hotels and the signs that you're seeing.
It's spreading.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's a really encouraging sight as we those green shoots, as you mentioned, Petter, are starting to come through. So that leads us nicely into the summer. And we look forward to bringing you guys back on, hearing how those green shoots are starting to grow, looking at how you're supporting and really digging into some of the technology that you guys have and how that can support hotels to help them generate more demand, help them optimize that demand, help them make those right commercial decisions. So thanks.
Pleasure.
Thanks again for joining us. It's always enjoyable talking with you guys.
With
you
pleasure.
Very much. Yeah, as always. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Trevor. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Nikki and Petter for joining us. But how do you see meetings and events changing post-COVID? Will hotels just revert back to type? And is the way hotels package their meetings and events offering somewhat outdated? If you have any thoughts on this, please feel free to share them. We always value your input, and we're happy to follow up with our guests. You can reach us via our social channels, or you can email us at insights.com. at revenue-hub.com. That's INSIGHTS at revenue-hub.com. And if you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. If you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. And if you do watch it on YouTube, it would be great if you would consider subscribing. It really helps out the channel, which helps us to help others. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.